Marty in the Morning on RTE Lyric FM with Spry Finance. Keep living the life you love.
I have to say congratulations because you have been elevated to because you were Mr. Pryor and now you're doctor.
Yeah, I know, it's fantastic. Trinity awarded me an honorary doctorate in December, and it came as a surprise, and a beautiful surprise, because you go along and you do lots of work and
but you're so absorbed in the arts and with the INO obviously, and your musical achievements, and because it's opera and conducting and all the things you've done, but a great honor to be.
It's terrific because they give it to very, really leading people. And I studied in Trinity, so I feel it's like my spiritual home in a way.
Then I have to ask you the obvious question. How did you do when you studied? Did you do okay? Don't tell me the result, but did you do okay?
I was sort of middle of the class.
Oh, right. Well, you see, I love this.
But don't tell anybody, Marty.
But I love that. It's when sometimes people say to you, would you come back and speak to the 6 years or whatever in your school?
Yeah.
And you're thinking, have you seen my leaving? But they want you to come back because...
Trinity when I was there is that I spent a lot of time, most of my time, out of the classroom. I organised the Trinity Orchestra. I founded that.
Brilliant.
I started conducting. I conducted all sorts of concerts. I got involved in organising events and
choirs. Makes total sense.
So it was a real springboard for me into my career. And academically, I was okay. I did fine. I didn't disgrace myself.
Sure,
I wasn't up at the top.
It is. I just think it's wonderful. Being doctor, I suspect, could actually get you better seats in restaurants and stuff as well.
I know
in the UK, people say, if you like, it's Sir and Lord and all this, where these titles matter greatly. It can get you into restaurants that are allegedly full.
I know.
People like to see.
I wonder if I book it on my plane tickets, will I get upgraded then?
You may, Fergus, why not? You're an esteemed man now. Listen, I have to say, firstly, congratulations.
Because
the Irish National Opera continues to be as phenomenal as it is. So the doctorate, we say congratulations. And then we say, this is an amazing thing to be going with, regards to Salome.
Yes.
It's, as the fellow said, it's a tough call, this one. This is a big, big opera.
It's a fantastically dramatic story. Oscar Wilde wrote the play, and it's known as a play in Ireland more than anywhere else, because actually internationally people just know the opera, but in Ireland there have been fantastic productions of the play, and it's based, as you know, on the story of Herod and his wife Herodias from the Bible, and John the Baptist.
Yeah.
And I don't think Salome herself is mentioned in the Bible.
Right.
So, at least not mentioned by name, but Oscar Wilde created this incredible girl. She's only 14 or 15, and she's awakening to life, and she's sort of coming of age, and she falls in love with John the Baptist, which, of course, she shouldn't have done. That was her first mistake.
That's right.
But she also
didn't turn out well for you, either.
She grew up in this really difficult environment. Her father had been killed. Her mother had married the uncle, who's now her stepfather, and he tries. He's obviously interested in her, in Salome, and he tries his hand with this sort of 14, 15-year-old girl and gets rejected. And so you have the kind of a girl who's just coming of age and realising the power of her own attractiveness and physicality and sexuality, really, and how she chooses to deploy that, and using the power that she has, first of all, with John the Baptist, and then she gets rejected by him, and then she uses her allure on her stepfather stroke uncle in order to get what she wants, which of course is the head of John the Baptist on a silver platter.
Somebody said, I'd love to go to Salome, but I believe it's a head wreck. But there you are.
But no, it's tailor-made for opera, that story.
I know.
I mean, it's so dramatic.
It is so dramatic.
The moment at which, you'll know that, like, there's a big central bit called the Dance of the Seven Veils, which is a huge orchestral section in the middle of the opera where Salome performs this dance, and she performs a dance for her uncle, and she's going to get, he's promised her, you can have anything you like if you dance for me.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's just the music that Strauss writes is just so incredible, and this kind of really seductive dance that she does.
We have it here, Dance of Seven. Now it's 10 minutes, so we're not going to do
that. Play a little bit.
This is the Vienna Philharmonic Orchestra, just to give everybody a flavour of what the Dance of the Seven Veils. And so it goes. That's Dance of the Seven Veils, Richard Strauss. We're talking about Salome, which is on at the Irish National Opera on at the Bord Gáis on the 12th, the 14th and the 16th of March, which is just around the corner. And the good doctor, Fergus Shield, is in to talk to me about it. I'm sorry, but I can't call you Mr. anymore. Anyway, Fergus, the thing about this is Sinead Campbell-Wallace is such a name to have.
She's incredible.
She's incredible.
Her career now is really rocketing. She's in demand all over Europe. She was nominated for an Olivier Award this year, last year, and, yes, and the only opera singer to be nominated for an Olivier for Outstanding Achievement in Opera. So her career is really on the up and up. Lots of people, opera people, will know her, but if you haven't heard of her, you come along, because she is such a committed performer.
She's Pride of Wexford.
From Wexford.
Yeah.
Incredible personality on stage as well as her voice, and perfect for this role. Just so it's her first time to sing this role. So, and we think she's the first Irish soprano ever in history to sing this role.
Oh, that's interesting.
So that is interesting.
Yeah,
because it hasn't been performed much in Ireland as an opera. It's done a lot in Germany and the continent. And one of the things I love about it, obviously the text is by an Irishman, Oscar Wilde. Yes. He wrote it in French originally, because he lived in Paris at the time. It was taken up by a German composer, and here we are as an Irish...
An Irish band.
It's
back
a real
Ireland,
European
yeah.
thing. And placing Ireland at the heart of European
culture.
It is
for sure. And I remember some years ago, Al Pacino came over to Ireland. He actually, funnily enough, because he was a doctor, would understand this, he was speaking at Trinity.
Was it the Hist or the film?
You know, the society that get all these big names in.
Society.
He was speaking, and a pal of mine here, she very kindly, she wasn't going, she gave me her ticket, and I snuck in.
Great.
Because I love Al Pacino.
Oh, fantastic.
But he had previously, or he was about to the following day, go over to the Gate Theatre, Michael Colgan, because Salome was something that he was making a film about.
Yes, and they did a play, a wonderful production.
Did the production.
With All One Foray as Salome, yeah.
Yeah, and I think he spoke some of the lines from the stage, to nobody in particular,
yes,
in the Gate. I just think it's a great link.
Yeah.
But it shows you the power, because he was very taken at the time with Oscar Wilde and the story of Salome.
Yeah.
It is amazing, though, isn't it, when you think about it in 2024, that the story can actually be put out there. When you think about it and the content of it.
Yes.
It's quite something. You know, she's only 14. And then the small matter of John the Baptist and the head situation.
Absolutely, yeah.
It's astonishing.
It's astonishing. We've had great fun in rehearsals, because the guy we have singing, John the Baptist, he's a fantastic Icelandic bass baritone, Thomas Thomason.
Yes.
And he's very imposing on stage. He looks fantastic, you know, he really commands. And then we had to get a sort of a plaster cast made of his head.
Right. Don't give it away. You're not going to tell me you don't really chop his head off. You've ruined it now.
But we have a fantastic head. So that's
But again, because of what it is, Salome, it must, because it's a huge cast.
Yes,
very big cast. It must have taken.
I've lost count. I think there's like 15 or something in the cast.
Oh yeah, there would be. Yeah, well, a soldier here and a soldier there.
There's
and
loads
everything
of soldiers.
Else.
There's various people.
It must have been quite. And of course, you have a full orchestra, which you always have with the
massive orchestra. Lovely.
So it's a huge production, and you're staging it. It's not a concert. It's a stage.
Oh yeah, no. It's a beautiful. It's a new production that we're making, especially for opening this day week on. Tuesday of next week. I get my days mixed up. But it is a fantastic production designed by Leslie Travers, director Bruno Ravella. These are like phenomenal artists, and it really looks exquisite. I can't wait to see it all come together.
Would you be nervous as well? You would, because you're conducting, for heaven's sake.
Yeah.
So it's your baby, but you're also conducting. So you're totally immersed in this.
It is an added... it's both a stress and a joy to be conducting it myself, because that's what I love. I love being at the centre of it. That's kind of why I do what I do, this joy of making music, of sharing it with others, of trying to share my enthusiasm for music with people through putting on these operas that I think people will come to and will love and have really profound experiences.
Yeah.
So for me, it's a joy to be in the pit. We've a marvellous orchestra, the Irish National Opera Orchestra, that we've developed over the last few years. Incredibly committed players. The amount of work they've done on this music, it's astonishing what they're doing. And they're so willing to go the extra mile. And a lot of the time, you know, in rehearsals, I'm asking them to be ugly. You have to be ugly. You have to be nasty.
Yeah, sure.
And they say, we've trained all our lives to play beautifully on these instruments.
Yes,
and I'm getting them to be nasty and ugly.
Suddenly become Megadeth.
Yeah, but it's funny. There is, the way the music is written, it's so descriptive in the orchestra. It's like the orchestra is this massive engine, like a turbo engine.
Yeah, it's
and
quite
they drive
strong.
And drive and drive and drive and drive.
It's strident, I suppose, would be a good word for it.
I think I'd call it dramatic.
Well, that's okay. Yeah. Now, we want to play, just to give people a flavour, this is Salome, this is the final scene. Now, because we don't have, obviously, Miss Wallace doing her bit, this is Cheryl Studer. Doing this, playing Salome.
Great.
Just a little, again, just to give a flavour. So dramatic.
Oh, it's incredible.
You must love that.
It's the very end of the opera. She has John the Baptist's head in her hand. She has kissed it. And that's what she wanted to do. She said, I will kiss you, your mouth, your canon, as they say in German. And then she's looking at this head and says, I have kissed your mouth. And it's just so unbelievably moving.
I can see you're taking with it for
sure.
I am. So listen, just to remind lads, it's a 7:30 start, very important. Salome at the Borgosh. And Salome in Focus, this is an introduction to the opera by Michael Lee.
Yes, we're having an introductory talk
Thursday.
On Thursday this week. People can see details of that on our website, irishnationalopera.ie. Nice thing to say just about this opera as well, Marty, is just relatively short as operas go. It's under 2 hours. And it's straight through like an express train ride from beginning to end.
Yes, no intermission.
Sung in German, but with surtitles, so you'll be able
in
to
English,
follow
of course,
everything.
Which is vitally important. Yeah. Now, that's next week.
Yes, Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday of next week. That's the 12th, 14th, and 16th.
However, you are doing Traviata in May.
We certainly are in the Gaiety, Wexford, Cork Opera House.
You're on tour.
Absolutely, we can't wait for that.
Yeah,
it's our first time to do La Traviata, so and it's such a popular opera.
It's very
kind
popular,
of a,
Verdi's Traviata. Yeah. And how many venues, in fact?
Three for that.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Yeah, we have 5 nights in the Gaiety, 2 in Cork, and 1 in Wexford.
That's fantastic. But and you're also doing
Vivaldi's Olympiade, that's touring all around the country, and then it goes to 8 performances in the Royal Opera House in London and 3 in Switzerland at Fribourg. So, yeah, that's part of our international... We're getting a lot of attention internationally now, which is brilliant, you know, and bringing the operas abroad and things like that. So, it's
so if you end up in the UK, would you accept an OBE? You probably would.
I don't think...
You could do a Bob Geldof. You can accept it as a... they can give it to you, but you don't... I'm just trying to help.
I think you're jumping the gun there.
Let's
enjoy the doctorate first.
I think it's very possible. One of the things I noticed that made me laugh, and I take it it's wrong, or maybe it's just a coincidence. Did you notice there's a list? We have a list of the cast here.
Yes.
And it's obviously Sinead Campbell-Wallace, Salome, and we have all the rest of them all jotted down. And the creative team... yourself as conductor and Bruno Ravella as director. Leslie Travers, set and costume designer. Did you know the lighting designer is Sinead Wallace?
Oh, that's a mistake. But there is a lighting designer, Sinead Wallace.
But is that... But it's not... I just thought, that is brilliant. They're making her double job.
Well,
she's
we've worked
doing
with
the
Sinead,
lighting.
So does Sinead Wallace lighting designer has designed fantastic productions for us, like William Tell most recently. But not to be mixed up with Sinead Campbell-Wallace, the soprano.
I didn't think it was the same person.
Yeah. It was Kieran Bagnall who's doing the lights for this.
That's right.
It's a set of record stage.
I have a vision of you all in rehearsals and someone saying, Sinead, for God's sake.
Get off the stage and organise the lights.
Fix the lights. And the star of the show. Oh, suddenly going, how dare you? Listen, we shall leave you with Libiamo, I think.
Yes, okay, from Traviata.
Traviata. Yeah. But just a reminder again, Rick starts at Salome with the Borgosh, and it's on the 12th, 14th and 16th. And Dr. Shields, pleasure.
Thank you very much, Marty. Pleasure to be here.
Pleasure. Good to see you.